Disclosures. Disclosure. Even though all real estate transactions in Texas are as is, a seller of real property is required to disclose any major defects with a property. Certain state and federal statutes compel sellers to disclose information regarding mold remediation, the presence of storage tanks, ASTs and USTs, asbestos, lead paint, and hazardous waste. Texas Realtors Registered Trademark Commercial Property Condition Statement. Texas Realtors members have the option of attaching the Commercial Property Condition Statement, TXR-1408, to the contract. TXR-1408 addresses environmental conditions like radon, asbestos, toxic waste, historical districts, wetlands, and mineral rights, as well as pending changes or written notices of violation of zoning, material defects, etc. Many states, including Texas, require certain statutory disclosures. A sample copy of this document can be found in your resource drawer. Mold remediation. In the case of mold, if a property has undergone remediation for mold within 5 years of selling, Texas puts the duty on the seller to provide the buyer with all certificates issued for the property. Texas Occupational Code, Section 1958.154. Certificate of Mold Remediation, Duty of Property Owner. B. If a property owner sells property, the property owner shall provide to the buyer a copy of each certificate issued for the property under this section during the 5 years preceding the date the property owner sells the property. Storage tanks. Sellers must also disclose the presence of storage tanks according to Title 30 of the Texas Administrative Code. 334.9 Seller's Disclosure. Effective on and after the effective date of this subchapter, any person who sells or otherwise legally conveys a tank or tank system that is designed or intended to be installed as an underground storage tank, UST, or an above-ground storage tank, AST, must provide the purchaser, or grantee, with written notification of a tank owner's obligations relative to the agency's tank registration, compliance self-certification, and construction/installation notification provisions under Section 334.7 of this title, relating to registration for underground storage tanks, USTs, and UST systems. Section 334.127 of this title, relating to registration for above-ground storage tanks, ASTs. Section 334.8 of this title, relating to certification for underground storage tanks, USTs, and UST systems. Section 334.6 of this title, relating to construction notification for underground storage tanks, or USTs, and UST systems. And Section 334.126 of this title, relating to installation notification for above-ground storage tanks, ASTs. 1. The written notification must include the names and addresses of the seller, or grantor, and the purchaser, or grantee, the number of tanks involved, a description of each tank, capacity, tank material, and product stored, if applicable, and the agency's designated facility identification number, if the entire facility is being conveyed. 2. This notification requirement applies to any transfers or conveyances of a new or used tank from one person to another person, and also applies to the sales of real property where USTs and / ASTs are located. 3. The written notification must be provided by the seller or grantor to the purchaser or grantee prior to the conveyance of the tanks or prior to the time of the real property closing, as applicable. 4. For the purpose of fulfilling the disclosure requirements of this section as to USTs, the following language, together with the information in paragraph 1 of this section, is deemed sufficient. The underground storage tanks, which are included in this conveyance, are presumed to be regulated by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and may be subject to certain registration, compliance self-certification, construction notification, and other requirements found in Title 30, Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 334. 5. For the purpose of fulfilling the disclosure requirements of this section as to ASTs, the following language, together with the information in paragraph 1 of this section, is deemed sufficient. The above-ground storage tanks, which are included in this conveyance, are presumed to be regulated by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and may be subject to certain registration, delivery prohibition, installation notification, and other requirements found in Title 30, Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 334. Due diligence period. The due diligence period, also referred to as the feasibility period, is a critical time period during a commercial real estate transaction. Think of this as the time when the buyer is trying to learn as much about the property as possible within an established time frame. During this period, the buyer must inspect every nook and cranny of the property in order to perform the proper due diligence and ensure that there are no potential issues that could prevent the buyer from utilizing the property to its best advantage. The time frame for due diligence should have been established in the LOI or the contract and agreed to by both parties. Allow at least 45 to 60 days. The longer, the better. The buyer will need to allow ample time for inspections, environmental assessments, request and review of rent rolls, operating statements, contacting the property management company, request and delivery of estoppel certificates from current tenants, checking with the local zoning authorities, permitting, review of title commitment, UCC search, survey, and much more. Depending upon the type of property being purchased, the buyer's agent should have a due diligence checklist that covers all categories of inspection and tests that may be required. For example, a due diligence checklist for an industrial property would look very different than a checklist for an apartment complex. Apartment complexes are very complex, pun intended, and will require a walkthrough of each apartment along with a check of all appliances to make sure that they are in working order, all floor coverings, door locks, air conditioners, light switches, smoke detectors, etc. must be checked for age and condition issues. An industrial due diligence checklist might include investigation of items such as depth of driveways for semi-trucks, inspection of loading docks, check for compliance with government safety regulations, and zoning for the buyer's intended use, among others. Experts recommend that a Phase 1 environmental study be performed on every property, just in case. Many commercial lenders will require one before funding a loan. Many properties may look clean and may appear as though there is no reason for concern regarding contamination. But what if there had once been a gas station or a dry cleaner on the property years before? These types of businesses are red flags for possible land contamination, and correction is extremely expensive, leaving the new buyer with a hefty cleaning bill. People may believe that raw land is not contaminated because no buildings were ever erected on the site, but raw land that was used for farming may have been contaminated by pesticides or other chemicals, or may have once been used as a dumping site for hazardous waste or materials. Err on the side of caution and insist that your client have an environmental study performed. Any serious issues discovered during the due diligence phase could give the buyer the leverage to renegotiate a lower purchase price for the property, or could cause the deal to go bust. If the property cannot be zoned for the buyer's intended purpose, or if there is a problem with the title that cannot be cleared, or even if the environmental study uncovers some unsavory findings on the property, the buyer can walk away from the deal. This process is much more involved than the option period of a residential real estate transaction, and there are many obstacles to go around and hurdles to jump through before the transaction gets to the closing table. 5-minute case study. Agent Sam has procured an investor for development of a high-rise condo building to be constructed on a piece of vacant property just outside of the central business district. The project seems like a lucrative investment as the city is undergoing major urban renewal, and the building will be located at the intersection of two busy streets near shopping, dining, and nightlife. During the due diligence period, the developer was contacted regarding environmental remediation due to the fact that a dry cleaning business had once occupied the now vacant land more than 40 years before. Upon hearing this, Agent Sam's investor decides to pull out of the deal. The investor had, years before, owned a piece of property on which his gas station and auto repair shop sat. Before he was able to sell the property, he had to pay for it to be environmentally remediated. Unwilling to deal with the expense, the investor walked away, killing the deal. Leading up to closing. The contract will dictate who opens escrow, though it is usually the buyer's agent. The listing agent will receive the checks to take to the title company. The seller's agent should keep track of all of pertinent contractual dates, including the dates contingencies must be waived, inspection dates, escrow closing date, and any dates that are written into the contract. Create a timeline for the transaction and plug the dates into your calendar so that you will have a schedule to follow. It is important that you make contact with the other party at least one day before each date comes due. For example, when are the inspections to be done? When is the walkthrough? One way that you provide value to the process is by keeping it on track for your client. Create and maintain a transaction log, documenting any communication that you send or receive that is connected to the transaction. Make sure that you log. Bullet, recording or transcription of phone calls. Bullet, faxes with cover sheet. Bullet, emails. Bullet, letters. Bullet, written communication. Bullet, hand-delivered documentation. Print out emails and place them, along with other hard copies of documentation, in a paper file, or keep an electronic file on your hard drive. Make sure that any time you meet with a party to the transaction, that you log the date and what was discussed during the meeting. Any communication that is hand-delivered by you should be initialed or stamped by the person who receives it. Then make a copy for your records. Keeping a solid transaction log is a good way to protect yourself from litigation. Any discussion of a lawsuit can be directed to your attorney, who will receive a copy of your transaction log. Closing costs. As with residential real estate, there are several costs that are associated with the closing of the loan. Most of these costs are similar to those that a residential agent would encounter during the consummation of a residential transaction, for example, title fees. However, commercial closing costs are usually much higher than those of a residential transaction, in large part because of the high degree of scrutiny involved in qualifying the property both physically and financially. Unlike residential transactions, RESPA does not apply to commercial transactions, and the government does not regulate how much lenders charge or how much they can collect for escrow. Typical closing costs include bullet title work, title policy, fees for clear title, bullet loan commitment fees, usually up to 1% for the luxury of having a loan, bullet prorated property taxes, bullet appraisal cost, bullet escrow, if applicable, bullet insurance, bullet survey, bullet UCC search, to research the liens on the property or equipment that will be transferred to the new owner, bullet due diligence fees, environmental studies, inspections, prorating rents. The landlord slash seller will prorate any unearned rents on his property through the day of the sale. If a security deposit has been collected on the properties, the landlord should give it to the buyer on the day of closing. A security deposit is typically 1 month's rent. Example, prorating rents. Nick is selling his 12-unit Class B apartment building to Kurt on June 27th. The June rents have already been collected on all 12 units. If each apartment rents for $1,300 per month, how much in unearned rents is Kurt entitled to receive from Nick? Step 1. Determine how many days are remaining in the month. June has 3 days remaining in the month. Step 2. Calculate the total monthly rents. 12 units times $1,300 equals $15,600 per month. Step 3. Calculate the total daily rents for the month of June. $15,600 divided by 30 days in the month of June equals $520 per day. Step 4. Multiply the total daily rents by the remaining days in the month. $520 times 3 days equals $1,560. Answer, $1,560 due the buyer, Kurt, in unearned rent. Closing. If all of the inspections performed during the due diligence period reveal that the property meets all applicable codes and all parties have agreed to the terms, the money goes hard, and the buyer will not get it back if he or she changes his or her mind. It is time to close. While it is at the discretion of the commercial agent whether or not to attend the closing, many prefer not to do so. The reticence to attend commercial closings primarily stems from the fear that the parties to the transaction may try to knock down the agent's commission on the deal. It often happens that, in an effort to reduce costs, one party will not sign unless the agent agrees to cut his or her commission by 1% or more. If this occurs, the agent should consider if cutting the commission might be a good idea. Consider how much potential business you could get from the client. Agents who do prefer to attend the closing do so to represent their client by making sure that all of the agreed-to numbers are accurate. They will also want to ensure that the seller did not alter the property in any way from the date of contract.